The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right. Boy, you know, I say every week, we're sad to see the kids go. They have all the energy. I'm telling you. Am I on here? Okay. Cool. Well, not to discourage anybody from showing up around 8:30 to help set up or anything, but you could get seriously injured here. Yeah. This morning, I smashed my finger. Yeah. It was bleeding. I'd show you the blood, but I don't want you to get sick. And then, only a few minutes after I crushed my finger, Jeremy crushed his. Good job, Jeremy. He's always wanted to be like me. Nice. His bled a lot more, so I was a little bit jealous. But you won't always get hurt. Matter of fact, that we were going to hold down either Victor or Shorty and crush their finger, too, so we could all match. But it's actually not something that happens every week. You're more than welcome to come and give us a hand. We promise we won't hurt you on purpose. Can't say the same thing for our messages on Sunday mornings. You know, when we first started our series, Extreme Makeover, Soul Edition, we said it might hurt a little bit. I must say, James doesn't let up. You start out reading the book of James or hearing from the book of James and you begin to realize quickly that there's going to be a lot of sore subjects addressed, and then you're thinking, oh, I think it'll be okay, I think I can handle it. And then you read the next verse and you're like, wait a second, I don't think I can handle this. And then we get down to today, and all of a sudden, once again, not only is God pointing the finger at us, but God's asking us to point the finger at ourselves. Just as a reminder, we know that the book of James written by Jesus' brother, James, and written to a group of followers of Christ who were being persecuted, being scattered about, basically, because of the persecution that was going on. And I want to kind of summarize the things we've talked about in verses 1 through 20, and then that'll kind of help us bring us up to speed here. First of all, we talked about how God uses trials in our lives to develop perseverance and how that develops maturity in us. We also learned that if we ask God for wisdom as we face these trials, He'll give it to us. We also recognize that many of these trials will be financial in nature. Surprise, surprise, to find that out. And we learn not to get caught up in the pursuit of material things or to find our value in those things. We also learn that when we're tempted to do wrong, temptation begins in us, in our desire to have our own way. And we need to understand that God actually has a better, much better plan for our lives than we have. We also learn that we need to submit to God's leadership, which means not falling prey to excited feelings or emotions such as anger, because these things don't bring honor to God. And so basically that's what we've learned so far in the book of James. Been some pretty tough stuff. As I prepare for these messages, I find myself pausing during the middle of my preparation and just saying, God, I don't really know if I'm worthy to give this message. I don't really know if I can do it. And I find myself just asking God for forgiveness and asking Him, God, just let me get through this study time, because that's how powerful I think the subject and the issues that we're dealing with are. And so today we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 25. And James starts out right away saying, therefore. And so as I kind of bring you up to speed on what we've been talking about through kind of that brief summary, considering all those things, James says, therefore, we need to do something. And this is what he says. Oh, by the way, the title of my message is The Man in the Mirror. Jerry wanted me to play the Michael Jackson song. I didn't really want to. We both agree that would have been a bad idea. But the title is The Man in the Mirror, and we'll talk a little bit about what that's all about. Let's look at James 1, verse 21. We'll read verse 21, and then we'll stop right there, and then we'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll move on from there. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that God has planted in you, which has the power to save you. Now, first of all, James just comes right out and says, you need to do some serious cleaning up. And it's interesting to me that when James says the word filth, this is actually the only time this word is used in the New Testament. In the Greek, this is the only time this word is mentioned. Basically means something that is offensive or loathsome. I'm looking at this word and I'm thinking of the most offensive and the most loathsome thing, and my thoughts went quickly to a time when on a cold December morning, I went out to start my car and, well, let me back up here because there's a little lead into this. For a while, our car had this funny odor and we couldn't figure out what the smell was. Terrible smell. And I thought maybe something was going wrong with the heater in our car. And so I told Debbie, we really need to take this thing in and get it looked at, you know, and see if we could figure out where the smell is coming from. And my wife kept saying, I've smelled this smell before. I just can't really place it. And so a couple weeks went by until finally one morning I get into my car and I go to start it. And the smell is just terrible. I can't handle this anymore. Halfway through the day, I meet my wife for lunch. We have carne asada tacos or some sort of meat. That's important. And then I go out to the car and I notice there are flies all over the hood of the car. And I say to myself, flies really like my car. Something is not right here. And Debbie says, I think it's time to pop the hood. I did not want to do that, and so I did. And you may guess what I found under there. A small animal that had decided to curl up in the engine of our car to stay warm during the winter, and apparently did not realize that there were moving parts in there. Yeah, it was bad. See, you see the feeling you're starting to get right now? The same way I felt, because I had just eaten the carne asada taco. And then I told my wife, I'm never going to eat red meat again, ever. Of course, that passed. You know, a couple days later, I was enjoying a steak or something. But I think of the most loathsome, disgusting thing, and I think of that moment when I had to clean. Oh, I should stop talking about that. I think of having to clean that up. And I realized that was so offensive and something I would never, ever want to go through again. And then I think about this word and I think of how James is describing the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And when he says prevalent, he means it's abounding. There's a lot of it. There's much of it. He says those are the things that we need to get rid of. And so I think the first thing that we can take from this verse that James is telling us is allow God's powerful word to replace the junk in your life. Allow God's powerful word to replace the junk in your life. You see, because if we truly are followers of Christ, we will let go of the temporary garbage and embrace the supernatural influence of God's word. See, this verse talks about God's word being planted in you, which to me says that this is kind of an unnatural condition. Because naturally, we're without God's word and without an understanding of God's righteousness. And so that's just something that has to be planted, or as some versions say, engrafted in us. It has to become a part of us, and that's an act of God. Because if it was up to us, we'd be happy just to hang out in the filth. We'd be content with doing the things that are offensive and dishonoring to God. And so James, right off the bat, tells us we need to get rid of these things. But not only do you want to get rid of these things, but he's saying allow God's word that has the power to save. Allow God's word to actually replace those things. Because we don't want you to get rid of something without replacing it, because that's going to leave a void. Colossians 3, verses 5 and then 7 and 8 says, and this is from the message, it says, and that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now, so make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Wow, he really goes down through a list, doesn't he? As this list is read, do you feel like just kind of maybe slinking down in your chair a little bit? Because maybe it's different for me, but whenever Paul goes through a list of things that he's identifying as things that are offensive to God and God wants us to get rid of out of our lives, I begin to see these things and I begin to think, man, I do these things. Some of these things I do on a regular basis. And, you know, maybe sometimes I'm really good at hiding these things, or maybe sometimes I'm really good at justifying them or making excuses for them. Maybe it was a circumstance that made me react that way, and so I've got a good excuse for doing that. But no, I don't have a good excuse for that. And James is challenging us, and God is commanding us through these words of James that we need to get rid of these things. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. See, once again, we're getting this message of replacing all those things that are offensive to God, the filth, the things that are loathsome to God, replacing those things with God's word. Because God's word really does have power. And if you don't recognize that God's word has power, then I guarantee it's because you haven't been spending time in God's word. I think James really steps on our toes in this, because sometimes we can feel like we live in a fairly good life or a decent life, and we think we're doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing. But the fact is, if we're not connected with God through his word, we're really not. And as we're going to discover in just a couple minutes, we're really just deceiving ourselves. God's word really does have power. Romans 1:16, a familiar verse to most of us, I think. It says, "For I am not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." God's word, God's spoken word, God's written word, God's word has the power to change lives. And God is asking us to replace the things that don't belong in our lives, the things that are dishonoring to him, with his very word. And how is that possible? How are we supposed to do that? We've got to spend time in God's word. I can't even stress how important it is that you spend time on a regular basis opening God's word. And maybe you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, the Bible, when I open it, sometimes it just doesn't make sense to me. It seems boring, whatever it may be. I can't encourage you enough to read a version of the Bible that you understand that makes sense, or look for somebody that understands the Bible, has a better understanding of it, and ask them to explain some things to you. You've got to put some work into it. You've got to put some time into it, or it's not going to happen. And so many times we have all these complaints and all these things that are going wrong in our lives, and what it really comes down to is we haven't been spending time in God's word, and I think we could sum up a lot of our problems in that. And so allow God's powerful word to replace the junk in your life. Let's look back at James 1, looking at verse 22. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like." James starts out by saying, if you're listening to the word but you're not acting on it, you're deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself. You might think that you're the last person that would fool you. That's not always the case. Have you ever bought something, maybe something nice to wear, and you think you look really good in it, and everybody else disagrees with you? Why is that? I don't know, maybe somehow we've deceived ourselves or tricked ourselves into thinking that that makes us look good. Most people won't actually come out and tell you that unless they're like a really, really close friend, and then sometimes they're not your friend after they say that. I remember when I was in high school, I think I was a junior in high school, and I went to work for the summer with my uncle up in Oceanside. And I really had one reason for going up there to work, is I was trying to earn some money so that I could buy a pair of sunglasses. So I spend the summer up there, and I'm thinking, this is how much these sunglasses, and they were ridiculously overpriced, but they looked so good on me. I had to have those things. And I had gone several times to the store, and I had looked at them behind the security glass, you know, with the alarm system and everything, and said to myself, those glasses are going to make me look good. And so I seriously spent several weeks working construction with my uncle, earning money so that I could buy this pair of sunglasses. One day after, I think I'd been there maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and my uncle was an avid surfer, and so he decided we were going to go surfing after work one day. And I had been saving all the money that I'd been earning, because he'd been paying me in cash, in my wallet, my OP wallet. Right. Anyway, so I had it all in my wallet. And so my uncle said, we're going to go surfing. I'm like, yeah, let's go. So we got our boards, went down to the beach, ran out into the water. And after I'd been out there for a while, oh, by the way, when I say that I'm out there surfing, what I mean is that my uncle, who's a professional surfer, is out there surfing, and I'm standing on the board every once in a while. we're out there having a good time, and then all of a sudden, I get this sinking feeling in me because I realized that I had not taken my wallet out of my pocket. And I'm like, oh man, as a matter of fact, I hadn't taken anything out of my pocket. I had a bunch of stuff in there, and it was all gone. And so I go into the shore, and you know, my heart's beating. I'm like, God, please, I'm praying, you know, God, protect me from my stupidity and my greed. And so I come to the shore, and I'm like praying an innocent prayer, and I'm walking down the beach, and I began to find some things that I had in my pockets. I found my inhaler. I found a comb. I think I might have even found, like, you know, something really heavy that should have sunk to the bottom and never come up. And I found all this stuff, but I never found my wallet. And I felt so miserable. I was sulking a couple hours about this. And told my uncle I'd lost, you know, lost my wallet and all this. I just felt so miserable. And I think my uncle ended up actually reimbursing me for part of the money that I'd lost. I finally get my sunglasses, and I put them on, and I'm thinking, I don't really like the way these sunglasses look. Maybe I should have got the other pair. But I had spent so much money on them, I was like, there's no way, you know, I'm going to wear these things no matter what. Today, I'm sure I have them somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where they are. But I had myself fooled. I had myself deceived into thinking that this was going to make me cool, or I was going to look so much better if only I had these sunglasses. And I spent so much effort and energy and poured all into it. And then when it came right down to it, it really wasn't worth it. It really wasn't worth all the heartache and all the problems that I caused myself. And we're the same way. So many times we trick ourselves, we fool ourselves into thinking that this is the way, and when it's really not. James says, you deceive yourself if you say to yourself, it's good enough if I just listen to God's word. It's good enough if I just read a little bit of God's word. And so I believe James is telling us this. Don't fool yourself into thinking that it's enough to just listen to God. You see, as followers of Christ, we can't pride ourselves on our knowledge of God's word, but on its influence on our actions. Many times, we can feel pretty good about ourselves or feel like we're doing our part because maybe we're attending a service and we're listening to a guy that gets up and does a message and speaks. And we feel like, wow, you know, I really did my part. I sat there and listened. Matter of fact, at the end of the message, I went up and told the guy that was speaking, hey, you did a great job. I really enjoyed your message. And sometimes we think that maybe that's enough to hear that and it's enough to absorb that. James wants us to take it a step further. Matter of fact, God would tell us that he doesn't want us to be merely listeners to the word, but he wants us to allow those things to influence our actions and to shape and to form our lives. Because if that's not happening, we're just fooling ourselves. We're just deceiving ourselves. If we walk away from hearing or reading God's word and our life remains unchanged. Matthew 7, verses 24 and 27. This is a passage I think that's pretty familiar. Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Makes a great kid's song, but let me tell you, it is a terrible way to pattern your life. Have you ever looked back on something that you've done in your life and recognized that the problems and that the issues that have come up are really because of your own doing? I do that all the time. I look back and I realize, wow, I really could have avoided all that if I simply would have done what God had asked me to do instead of doing what I wanted to do. And it's so easy for us to do that because if we always use ourselves as a frame of reference, then we're going to go with whatever mood we're in and however we're feeling at the time. That's always going to be the choice that we make. That's always going to be the direction that we go. But God is telling us, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, does what I says, that person truly is wise. Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here in just a moment, we're going to recognize that there actually are benefits and rewards to taking God's word and the things that we hear and applying those things to our lives. And so it's not just that God is saying, hey, this is what I want you to do, now do it. That obviously should be reason enough, but the fact is there is a purpose, and there is a reason behind it. Let's look back at verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The man who looks intently. This is actually one word in the Greek. And the word actually means to stop and to stoop down and look at something. Kind of an interesting word. They do that in the Greek language. They put all this meaning and pack it all into one little word. But that's the whole idea, is that you're stopping and you're stooping down and you're looking at something. You're actually pausing, taking time out to examine something. And so God is telling us that the man or the woman who looks intently, who pauses and takes the time to look into the things that God is giving them and continue to do this, that person is going to be blessed in what he does. I think what James is telling us here is to continually put into action what God is teaching you. Continually put into action what God is teaching you. See, if we develop the habit of not only listening to God, but yielding to his leadership, we'll find a freedom and contentment like nothing this world has to offer. Why does James call God's word the law that gives freedom or the law of liberty? I believe that's because it is only through God's word exposing to us how rotten we are that we understand that we have a serious need. And once we realize that, we can turn to Christ and we can accept Christ's gift of forgiveness. And we can be free. We can be liberated from a life of living for ourselves. And, you know, a life living for yourself, that actually sounds okay when you put it like that. But when you realize that a self-serving life is only going to end in chaos. John 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying this prayer and he's asking God the Father. He says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Psalms 119, verses 44 and 45, psalmist says, I will keep on obeying your instruction forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Here is a person that recognizes that there's freedom, there's liberty in doing the things that God asks of us, because we're no longer slaves to sin and to our sinful nature and our sinful desires, because we're on a regular basis submitting to what God wants in our lives. And on a regular basis, we're patterning our lives, not just hearing what God has for us, but we're actually taking those things and using those things to pattern and shape our lives. Psalms 19 is, by the way, a great passage. It talks about God's word, starting with verse 7. It says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant and a great reward for those who obey them. I look at this passage and understanding that when James says that we need to be doers and not just hearers of God's word, James is not just saying that because he thinks that that is the best way to live. But really, as a person that would say, I want to be a follower of Christ, or would claim to already be a follower of Christ, that's the only way to live. It's the only way to live without deceiving yourself and without deceiving the people around you. And let me tell you, the people around you, I don't think are as easily deceived as you think they are. People watch your life. They watch the way you live. They see the things you do. They hear the things that you say, and people judge you by those things. If you're living a life that's dishonoring to God, or you're doing things that are dishonoring to God, and maybe you think your life is kind of in the scale, this balance where I've done so many things that honor God, I've done so many things that dishonor God, and I really think the things that I do that honor God weigh more than the things that dishonor him. It doesn't matter what our system is for justifying our actions. James just comes right out and says, look, if you're a person that's hearing God's word, and you're not doing what God tells you to do, you're an offense to God. And I think that's a hard pill for some of us to swallow. I shouldn't say some of us, I think all of us. I was having a difficult time with this. Because there are times where I actually can make excuses for myself and say, yeah, well, there's a reason I didn't do it that way, and it's because of this. And I almost feel justified in saying that until I recognize that we don't really have a choice. We need to not only hear or listen to his word, but we need to do what it says. Let's talk just for a moment about hearing and listening to God's word, because I feel that A lot of us try to be followers of Christ or claim to be a follower of Him, and yet just don't spend the time that we should in God's Word. And I can't encourage you enough to spend time on a regular basis with God in His Word. No one has ever done that and then said, you know, I spend way too much time reading my Bible. I've never heard someone say, you know what, that was the worst 5 minutes I've ever had in my life. You walk away from that time refreshed. You walk away from that time with the realization that God actually is speaking to you. Sometimes you walk away from that time feeling like you got beat up. But that's a good thing because you probably needed a beating. And so I can't encourage you enough to spend that time in God's Word. But don't just soak it in. Don't just absorb it. Don't just sit and listen to someone speak about God's Word. Don't just sit and hear the principles of God's Word and say, yeah, that sounds really good. I really like that. That's great. And not take those things to heart and allow those things to transform and shape your life. What does it say? A person that does that is simply deceiving themselves. And you may think that you're deceiving the other. You can only fool people for so long. And I think there's an expression that says something like that. You can fool some of the people some of the time. Well, anyway, you guys know what I'm talking about. When it comes down to tricking yourself, you got to be pretty tricky to put one over on yourself. But we do it a lot. I would encourage you to not only take a peek in that mirror, which is God's Word. I love James' illustration of the mirror. If there's a mirror in your house, I guarantee you stop in front of that thing before you go outside. If you don't, that's just because you don't really care how you look, right? But for most of us, I think we have just enough pride to pause for a moment and look in the mirror and make sure that there's no spinach on our teeth or make sure that our hair looks right or whatever it might be. But to stand and look at yourself in the mirror and recognize that there's something not quite right and then to step away from that mirror and just go on into your day. I mean, physically, we don't do that. We take care of it right then and there, whatever it might be. And I invite you and encourage you to look into God's mirror, God's Word. Allow God's truth to reflect the real you and then do something about it. Father, thank you so much for your Word. God, I don't know that we really realize how important and how valuable your Word is. Or maybe, God, maybe we do, and yet, I don't know, we're too lazy at times, or maybe we somehow have ourselves fooled into thinking that our way might be a little bit better, a little bit more comfortable. God, shame on us. I pray, Father, that we would allow your Word that is so powerful. Not only does your Word and your truth have the power to save us from our sin and from ourselves, but your Word has the ability to, on a daily basis, replace the things that are offensive to you in our lives. I pray that we would open your Word. I pray that we would spend time in it. I pray that we wouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that it's enough to just read or listen to your Word. But I ask, God, that you would allow us to continually put into action the things that you're showing us. God, help us to walk away changed, to walk away different when we spend time hearing from you. God, because you tell us that if we do that, we'll be blessed. God, we know from experience that being blessed by you, God, is having peace and contentment and a freedom that the world cannot offer us. God, help us. Help us to be a people that are holy, that are set apart. And help us each time we come to your Word that we would come away from it changed, different, reshaped, reformed. I pray that your Word, we would allow it to have influence on our lives. Not just from time to time, God, but on a continual basis. Thanks, God, for loving us enough that you even care to give us these things. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnants. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled our hearts.